RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. Sustainable development implemented through social benefit cards. Governor Basuki expects Hun Ministry to soon approve 2015 APBDP. Now the news in detail. Vice President Yusuf Kala stated that Indonesia is fully committed to adopting sustainable development policy and has implemented through social benefit cards for health and education. Delivering a speech at the UN headquarters in New York on Saturday, he said that Indonesia provides full subsidies for Healthy Indonesian Card and Smart Indonesian Card for underprivileged community to get access to health services and education. He was accompanied by Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, and Health Minister Yunita. The Indonesian government has mainstreamed the post-2015 agenda into its national development planning, Vice President Yusuf Kala remarked. The new agenda demands a strong and inclusive global partnership to support the means of implementation while taking into account national circumstances and development priorities. He also said the lessons learned from Millennium Goals have shown that despite progress made, inequality among and within countries and poverty remains the main global challenges. New challenges have appeared, including energy inequality, infrastructure gaps, unsustainable consumption and limitation in production, and climate change. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama expects Indonesian Hun Ministry to soon approve 2015 revised budget APBDP. Because budget absorption will be optimized in it, concerning its absorption is still lower. He said on Saturday the ratification of 2015 APBDP depends on the Home Ministry, as it does not set in the form of bylaw but gubernatorial regulation. To speed up the approval process, he had instructed Head of Regional Planning Agency or BAPEDA, Tuti Kusumawati, and Head of Jakarta Financial and Asset Management Board, PAPKAD, Heri Budi Hartono, to follow the process set by Home Ministry. Governor Basuki acknowledged that he did not know why the APBDP ratification takes a long time, whereas this matter was already submitted to Home Ministry on August 11. In APBDP, there are some priorities that had been proposed, like Trans-Jakarta flyover construction, road land acquisition, bridge, flyover, and underpass in West Jakarta, East Jakarta, and North Jakarta. There are also land acquisitions for flat at Jalan Ancol Barat, PAK Complex, Penggilingan in North Jakarta, and Cengkareng, West Jakarta. It includes land acquisition for reservoir and parallel road in West Jakarta. As many as 12 Indonesian painting artists are taking part at the 2015 Beijing International Art Biennale and Art China, which is being held until September 28. Under the theme of Memory of and Dreamed, the art exhibition event displays 700 paintings, sculptures, and installations made by 300 artists from 96 countries. Two of Indonesian artists, Ugi Sugiarto and Yahya Lesmana, become special guests at the Beijing International Art Biennale Southeast Asian Contemporary Art Exhibition by invitation from the Chinese government. UGS visit one of his best work entitled Asurios, and Yaya displayed two art pieces entitled Harpers and Two Brothers. The art pieces are exhibited alongside artworks made by Philippine and Malaysian artists. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. 49 hand gliders from 5 countries will take part in the 2015 Telomoyo Cup International Championship in Semarang, Central Java from September 27 to October 4. 14 out of 49 are coming from Japan, Australia, South Korea, and Slovenia, while the remaining are host Indonesians. Slovenian hand gliding champion Primus Gricher is also set to participate in the event which takes place at the Mount Telomoyo. The event spokesperson Tagor Siakian has said recently that 35 Indonesian pilots are from Banten, Jakarta, West Java, Central Java, Yogyakarta, East Java, South Kalimantan, East Kalimantan, West Nusa Tenggara, South Sulawesi, North Sumatra, and West Sumatra. Tagor claimed that this year's event is much bigger than the previous one, which gathered 25 pilots. He assured that the 2015 Telomoyo Cup would offer tougher challenges to each participant. The championships will see possible clashes between last year's runner-up Roy Sudowo of Jakarta, the holder of national record in cross-country flying for a distance of 92 kilometers since 1995, which has yet to be broken, and defending champion Grant Haney of Australia, and 2014 Scott's bronze medalist Chung Ki Jung from South Korea. Young and talented pilot Rory Duncan of Australia, currently world number 234 in a cross-country flying, will also offer valuable sparring for aspiring Indonesian pilots. The last item, Ulama Al-Azhar pays serious attention to Indonesian students studying in Al-Azhar University and Sepharada University in Cairo, Egypt. Take, for instance, the attention for Indonesian students in Cairo is that Deputy Rector of Al-Azhar, Professor Dr. Muhammad Mahmud Abu Hashim, provided to Saha or Homes for Indonesian students in 2014. It was announced by the administrator of Saha Indonesia in Cairo, Egypt, Ali Irham, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Saturday. Ali hopes the Indonesian students use this to improve the quality of science and faith.
Beliau dan beberapa para muhsinin lainnya secara tulus.
Dr. Muhammad Mahmud Abu Hashim and a few other muhsinin sincerely have given this very precious gift to houses, and the Indonesian calls it Saha, to their beloved sons from Indonesia, especially to be utilized properly, and one of them is with Saha presence. It is expected to become one means to promote the spirit of Indonesian best sons to be closer to Al-Azhar, to be closer to their Masyai and the Assembly of Science, so that in the future it can improve the quality of science, and it's expected that when they return to Indonesia, they become qualified alumni of Al-Azhar in terms of science and morality. Ali said that the site was trying to make the two homes into science deep madrasa, but the purpose it has established curriculum, though it is still very modest. He added he also organizes any studies such as teaching the Al-Quran Aqidah in the Saha. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from West Kalimantan. West Kalimantan Governor Cornelis said in the near future he would build cross-country land terminal in Nanga Badau cross-border checkpoint. According to him, there will be 4 road lanes with the width of 7.5 meters in Badau, which will be built this year with the budget of 45 billion rupiah. Besides, he added, regular handling of Badau Putusibau Nanga era will be done with the budget reaching 277 billion rupiah. To accelerate construction in Badau, it needs synergy between the central and the regional government. Nanga Badau cross-border checkpoint is one of border posts in West Kalimantan. This post was built in 2002 and it was finished in 2006. It started operating in 2012. The second news is from Pekalongan, Central Java. Biji Kota Pekalongan Community introduces industry toilet innovation as an effort to reduce waste pollution impact of homemade batik industry. Head of Biji Pekalongan Community, Andi Setiawan, said in Pekalongan last Thursday, "This industry toilet performance system is relatively simple, but it can reduce the impact of waste produced by batik industry. It is called toilet because it functions as batik waste filter before it is thrown to sanitation channel." According to him, the industry toilet innovation has been tested in one of batik businessmen in Banyurip Alit, Pekalongan. He hoped industry agents want to do the simple way to make batik waste not to be thrown into river, but it is filtered first. The next news comes from Kepulauan Seribu, North Jakarta. Minister of Research, Technology, and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, wants to make Kepulauan Seribu Regency in North Jakarta as a research center in the field of maritime. According to him, Kepulauan Seribu has calm and vast waters that it is worth becoming a research center, especially in the fields of marine and fisheries. For instance, smart research plays like solar panel capacity increase by changing into hybrid model to increase the capacity twofold from 100 watt to 200 watt or more. According to Nasir, target of this development is fishermen. Meanwhile, Regent of Kepulauan Seribu Regency, Budi Utomo, warmly welcomes the intention of the minister. In his view, making Kepulauan Seribu as a marine research center will support marine tourism development in the area. The Regency and Jakarta provincial government are making a concept of boat transportation, which is always available to meet people's needs. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. I'm Rahmawati. This is a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with September 27, 1980. The World Tourism Day is set by the United Nations. Since 1980, the United Nations World Tourism Organization has celebrated World Tourism Day on September 27. This date was chosen as on that day in 1970, the statutes of the UNWTO or World Tourism Organization were adopted. It is considered a milestone in global tourism. The purpose of setting up this day is to raise awareness on the role of tourism within the international community and to demonstrate how it affects social, cultural, political, and economic values worldwide. At its 12th session in Istanbul, Turkey, in October 1997, the United Nations World Tourism Organization General Assembly decided to designate a host country each year to act as the organization's partner in the celebration of World Tourism Day. At its 15th session in Beijing, China, in October 2003, the Assembly decided the following geographic order to be followed for World Tourism Day celebrations: 2006 in Europe, 2007 in South Asia, 2008 in the Americas, 2009 in Africa, and 2011 in the Middle East. Turning to the event on September 27, 1945, the young generation of postal telegraph and telephone seized their headquarters in Bandung, West Java, from the Japanese military government. On September 24, 1945, one of the leaders of the young generation of post telegraph and telephone, Sutoko, asked to meet the Japanese head of the office, Mr. Osada, to negotiate and urge Japan to surrender the leadership of the Bureau of Post Telegraph and Telephone honorably to the people of Indonesia. But the talks failed. On September 26, members of the young generation of postal telegraph and telephone deployed to search for and collect weapons. On September 27, 1945, they were ready to take over the place, supported by the people who had gathered on the south lawn. They entered the office, which was occupied by the Japanese. The takeover of the Bureau of Post, Telegraph and Telephone from the Japanese by the young generation on September 27 is celebrated as Bhakti Postal Day. Now we go to 1996. The Taliban, a band of former Islamic seminary students, drove the government of Afghani President Burhanuddin Rabbani out of Kabul, captured the capital, and executed former leader Najibullah. The Taliban is a predominantly Pashtun Islamic fundamentalist group that ruled Afghanistan from 1996 until 2001, when a US-led invasion toppled the regime for providing refuge to Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. The Taliban regrouped across the border in Pakistan, where its central leadership, headed by Mullah Muhammad Umar, leads an insurgency against the Western-backed government in Kabul. Both the United States and Afghanistan have pursued a negotiated settlement with Taliban, but talks have little momentum as international forces prepare to conclude combat operations in December 2014 and withdraw by the end of 2016. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Rahma, entitled Bawaslu, or the General Election Supervisory Agency, cancels prisoner candidates. Listener, controversy on the regional head candidates with parole status finally comes to an end. They cannot run for regional head election or pilkada after the Election Supervisory Agency or Bawaslu issued circulars mentioning that candidates with parole status cannot run for candidacy in the regional head elections in the entire Indonesia. Previously, decision whether troubled candidates can run for the elections can be taken if they are proven guilty according to the mandate of Constitutional Court verdict. In response to the issue, member of the Election Supervisory Agency, or Bawaslu, Nelson Simanjuntak said the circulars are made because some candidates have passed verification in the General Elections Commission, or KPU, and have started to campaign. Nelson Simanjuntak added that although they are not called as prisoners yet, ex-prisoners are required to be open and honest to reveal their status to public. Meanwhile, Executive Director of Association for Elections and Democracy, or Perludem, Titi Anggraini, said the issuance of Bawaslu recommendation letter is required to be followed up by supervisors and their lower levels. Besides, it needs validity from what is said by the Regional General Elections Commission or KPUD. Titi Anggraini stated that even though the letter is slated to be issued, it doesn't mean that the recommendation cannot be used to change the commission's decision, which is considered to violate the rule. In the meantime, Commissioner of the General Elections Commission or KPU, Hadar Nafis Gumai, said the commission is ready to follow up recommendation of the supervisory committee if candidates set by KPU still have status as prisoners or still undergo parole period. On the other hand, researcher of Indonesia Corruption Watch, Donald Faris, said KPU's decision to pass troubled candidate pairs in the regional head elections or Pilkada violates the law and it should be followed up as there are some troubled candidates both in trial process and parole status in the legal process. Chaos in the candidacy of troubled regional heads comes out after the Regional General Elections Commission or KPUD of Manado City in South Sulawesi passed Jimmy Rimbarogi as the candidate of Manado Mayor. In fact, according to the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, Jimmy Rimbarogi is still in parole status until December 29, 2017. Listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has stated that Indonesia is fully committed to adopting sustainable development policy and has implemented it through social benefits cards for health and education. Delivering a speech at the UN headquarters in New York on Saturday, he said that Indonesia provides full subsidies for Healthy Indonesian Card and Smart Indonesian Card for underprivileged community to get access to health services and education. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama expects Indonesian Home Ministry to soon approve 2015 revised budget APBDP because budget absorption will be optimized in it, concerning its absorption is still lower. He said on Saturday the ratification of 2015 APBDP depends on the Home Ministry. As many as 12 Indonesian painting artists are taking part at the 2015 Beijing International Art Biennial and Art China, which is being held until September 28. Under the theme of Memory and Dream, the art exhibition event displays 700 paintings, sculptures, and installations made by 300 artists from 96 countries. 49 hand gliders from 5 countries will take part in the 2015 Telemoyo Cup International Championship in Semarang, Central Java from September 27 to October 4. 14 out of the 49 are coming from Japan, Australia, South Korea, Slovenia, while the remaining are host Indonesians. Ulama Al-Azhar pay serious attention to Indonesian students studying at Al-Azhar University and Sepharada University in Cairo, Egypt. Take for instance, the attention for Indonesian students in Cairo is that Deputy Rector of Al-Azhar, Professor Dr. Muhammad Mahmud Abu Hasin, provided two Saha or homes for Indonesian students in 2014. It was announced by the Administrator of Saha Indonesia in Cairo, Egypt, Ali Irham, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Saturday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce the tradition of Tumpeng Sewu from Banyuwangi, East Java. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Muslims around the world have just celebrated Idul Adha, or often called the Feast of Sacrifice. Welcoming the Idul Adha, people in Kemiren Village, Glagah District, Banyuwangi, East Java, has a tradition that is held a week before the Idul Adha called Tumpeng Sewu, and usually is held after the afternoon prayer. Tumpeng Sewu tradition usually begins with a procession of barong along the road in Kemiren Village. In front of the procession, there are some youth whose task is to lit torches lined along the street. Bamboo torches with four legs is called oncor ajuk-ajuk. Once the torch is lit, common prayer begins, led by religious leader using loudspeakers from mosque in the middle of the village. Not long after, people will have meal together. During the event, people will gather along the way to enjoy the Tumpeng Sewu menu, which consists of rice cones with various side dishes placed on a mat at the roadside. It is called Tumpeng Sewu because there are so many, though not as many as Sewu or 1,000 rice cones. By the way, Sewu in Japanese or local language means 1,000. Its family brings its own cone called Tumpeng Pecel Pite. These pecel pite tumpengs or rice cones are called Tumpeng Sewu or 1,000 rice cones. Pite in the local language means chicken. The rice cone is called so because it uses chicken as the basic ingredient, seasoned with typical spices. The chicken is grilled in a special way and then shredded, mixed with grated coconut and nuts, added with a spicy flavor. Pecel pite is indeed not easy to find because it is served on special occasions only. During the holding of Tumpeng Sewu tradition, all people in the village will pray together to be kept away from any disaster or diseases. Tumpeng Sewu is now part of the effort to take care for tradition and local wisdom. In addition, it also illustrates the openness and friendliness of Using tribe, which is indigenous people of Banyuwangi. Even lately, Tumpeng Sewu tradition has been inserted in the regional tourism agenda, the Banyuwangi Festival.
Its main purpose is to introduce the cultural tradition of the region to a greater extent. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today, introducing the tradition of Tumpeng Sewu from Banyuwangi in East Jawa. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Hari Bakti Postel or the Indonesian Post and Telecommunication Day. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. September 27th is celebrated as Hari Bakti Postel or Indonesian Post and Telecommunication Day, and this year it is the 17th of the celebration. This commemoration started with the successful takeover of the Bureau of Post, Telegraph and Telephone from the Japanese government power by Indonesian freedom fighters who were members of the young generation of Post, Telegraph and Telephone on September 27th, 1945. The takeover process began with a meeting held on September 3, 1945. The youth members of the young generation of Post, Telegraph and Telephone present, among others, were Sutoko, Slamet Sumari, Yusuf, Agus Salman, Alif Nawawi, and several others. To realize the transfer of power, in the meeting it was agreed that the head office of the Post and Telegraph Telephone, or PTT, should have been taken over by the end of September 1945. They tried to approach the Japanese to surrender power in the office of the PTT. Yet the Japanese force commander instructed that the taken over of the head office of PTT was to be done by the Allies force. On September 23, 1945, Sutoko had a meeting with Ismoyo and Slamet Sumari, which resulted in the decision that Masuharto and RDR should demand the Japanese to hand over PTT peacefully. But again, the Japanese was not willing to do it. The Indonesian youth then had to resolve to taking it by force with the help of the people. On September 24th, Sutoko asked Masuharto and RDR to meet Osada, head of the Japanese PTT, and urged Japan to hand over the leadership of PTT honorably to the people of Indonesia on the same day. But the talks failed. The youth representatives were only allowed to fly the Indonesian flag of red and white in the backyard of the building in Jalan Cilaki, Bandung. On September 26, Sutoko called Suwarno and Nawawi Alif to lead the work to tear down the dikes around the office. To make the takeover of PTT more focused, Sutoko was named as chairman, assisted by three vice chairmen. In the afternoon, Sutoko met Masuharto to notify about the plan to attack, which was going to be held on September 27. Masuharto agreed to the plan. 2 days later, on September 27, 1945, once again, Masuharto and RDR had talks with the Japanese leaders at PTT head office, but it failed again. the young generation then decided on September 27, 1945, that PTT must be seized by force from the hands of the Japanese. At the time, they were ready with weapons and the masses of the people gathered in the south courtyard. Suwarno and his men entered the office space occupied by the Japanese troops, who then voluntarily surrendered their weapons. Sutoko then read out the text containing the appointment of Masuharto and Dr. as head and deputy head of the Bureau of Post, Telegraph and Telephone throughout Indonesia. At that time, several youth under the leadership of Suwondo came waving red and white flag on a power pole. The masses, who were the eyewitnesses to the events that ended the colonial rule on PTT head office, immediately sang the national anthem, Indonesia Raya. Well, that was Miscellany Today. Until the next edition with another interesting topic, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you for you who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And listener, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Taslima Akhtar Lima in Bangladesh. In his email, Ms. Taslima Akhtar Lima told that on September 11, 2015, on Friday, the Era Rewol Service, Voice of Indonesia, the Excerpts Forum of Bangladesh, celebrated the auspicious occasion of the 70th anniversary of Radio Republic of Indonesia, or RRI. The celebration ceremony started at 8 p.m., which was attended by VOI, the Excerpts Forum executive members, and also voice listeners in Dhaka. And the ceremony was led by the president of the Voice of Indonesia, the Access Forum of Bangladesh, who was also wonderful International Quiz 2012 winner, Mr. Didarul Iqbal. Hello, Mr. Taslima Akhtar Lima, and also VOI, the Access Forum executive members and voice listeners in Dhaka. How are you? Thank you very much for your attention and also your appreciation on Radio Republic of Indonesia, or RRI. As for information, every year Voice of Indonesia also holds wonderful international quiz, and who knows, next year one of you will become a winner. So keep listening to segment by segment of our programs, and don't forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Well, Ms. Taslima Akhtar Lima, we are looking forward to receiving your next email. Thank you very much, and special for you and also our regular listeners, we'll play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Saja.
Listener now will reply an email from Jose Socorro Seiro Marano in Brazil. In his email, Mr. Jose Socorro Seiro Marano said that he was listening to our program in English, Spanish, and French language through frequency of 9525 kHz, and the SIN code was 34333. Hello, Mr. Jose. Thank you for sending your reception report on our broadcast, and your reception report will become our reference. How our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz can be heard in your country. As your request, we have sent our QSL card to your homes. Thank you very much. And now we'll play another beautiful song for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Apalah maumu kasih, kau pilih diriku di dalam hidupmu. Nyatanya kulihat ini, tak bisa kau coba untuk setia. Sudah cukuplah sudah, ku memberikan waktu. Kau selalu tak bisa mencoba untuk setia. Yang selalu ku inginkan, yang selalu ku nanti, kau coba untuk mengerti. Apalah arti mencinta, dan harus kau sadari, bila ingin bersamaku, jangan coba kau ingkari. Cobalah untuk setia. Dalam hidupmu, nyatanya kulihat ini, tak bisa kau coba untuk setia. Sudah cukuplah sudah, ku memberikan waktu. Kau selalu tak bisa mencoba untuk setia.
And now we continue to reply an email from Dr. Afinash Chikot, PhD, in the United Arab Emirates. In his email, Mr. Afinash Chikot said that our signals are coming strong and loud in the United Arab Emirates. Besides English, he also heard the Spanish service. Hello, Mr. Afinash Chikot. How are you? We haven't heard from you for a long time. Now you can reach our frequency again. Thank God, and we are very glad to hear that. And thank you for your compliment to our technical division. As your request, we'll tell to our management, and hopefully we can send it as soon as possible. And special for you and also our regular listener, we'll play a beautiful song. Let's check it out. Unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate very much your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter @voi_indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Aku lah sayapmu yang kau Apakah engkau sadari kau telah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.